Hurricane Laura has sort of gotten lost here in the national news. With the political convention and everything going on, nobody's talking about this. So I wanted to have you on today because I want to talk about this and bring this to everybody's attention. But before I start, I want you to tell everybody the story of the Cajun Navy and how it impacted you. Would you tell that story with the boat and everything for me?
I don't want to share someone else's thoughts. I want to create my own original thoughts. I want to create my own original solutions. I want to look at situations and come up with my own phrasing, my own words, and do it my way.
This is the John Taffer Podcast.
Shut it down.
Hello, everybody. Well, here I am back, John Taffer, my podcast. Cracking a little Taffer seltzer here. Did a little pineapple coconut today, Corey.
I love how that sounds on the microphone.
Does it?
Yeah, it sounds good.
And that was nowhere near the mic. That was like 2 feet away from the mic. Well, hello, everybody. You know, I was watching television a lot this week because I happen to have sort of, it's been a crazy week with Tavern opening and all the things we have going on, seltzer and mixology, and we just launched in Louisiana, launched in Florida. So it's actually, it was a pretty quiet week, so I watched TV and I realized TV sort of sucks right now. I mean, they're added new content, like completely almost, Corey. I mean, the movies that are on, the shows that are running. I get that the network executives, and forgive me, these are my buddies in many cases that I'm talking about, but I mean, everybody is struggling so hard to put on content. And last night, for the first time, I must say, in a few weeks, I watched or clicked on a couple of the talk shows. And I got to tell you, the home thing, I get it. Everybody's really trying. But man, what I saw was just incredibly amateur. I was shocked at how much standards have changed, you know, in the fact that some people are doing things from home, Corey, is making them seem like it's casual enough that they don't need to be as prepared as they normally were.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it would seem to me that if I was doing it from home, listen, guys, I'm not talking to you with a suit on here, but at least I'm dressed appropriately. I'm acting in an appropriate way. I've prepared myself. I have notes. I have information. So it's still casual, certainly more than it was before, Corey, because I'm doing it from home. But it doesn't mean it should be less professional. And you know, I'm concerned that the content quality is being impacted by this a little bit. And I was looking at some of the TV rating numbers. And of course, you'd think during the pandemic, ratings are up. And in some cases, they're not. And I think it's because we're just struggling to find content. And, you know, hats off to Paramount Network. You know, they've reached out, at least they've pulled some great movies and they said, okay, let's run some great movies, some high energy movies. So some networks have done a better job than others, but I got to tell you, Corey, we need new content. Yeah. And it's interesting, you know, from me in the television world as a producer and talent, there's nothing going on. You know, everybody's in a wait mode now. They're figuring out how to produce things, what they can produce, what they can't produce. And, you know, just like the bar industry and a restaurant industry and everybody is struggling, you know, the television industry is also in a complete shutdown. And, you know, I think about my crew, Corey, they haven't worked for 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, and, mm-hmm. and you know, they tend to be a little younger and mm-hmm. they might not have as much money in a bank. You know, and I think about all the bars and I think about all the impact that this has had. So, you know, the television industry, the film industry, you know, all of these industries have all taken a hit. And I was looking at TV ratings and I thought it was interesting how baseball last year in 45 broadcasts averaged about 578,000 per broadcast. Okay. This year with 59 broadcasts, so they're packing in more baseball, right? Some of it are day games and stuff, which you think wouldn't rate as well. Baseball's up, averaging about 661,000 viewers, right? From 578, so pretty good. And then you look at NBA. Well, some of their playoffs were up, some of them were down, but they're tracking overall about down 11%, whereas baseball was up. And the interesting thing is younger people is what's impacted the baseball numbers, Corey. People around your age or so are really watching baseball, which is interesting. It's given baseball a hit. And then I look at NHL, and I'm just looking at those three big leagues. It's like NHL up. The playoffs for NHL, best numbers in 4 years.
Wow.
And then I look at the way each of the leagues are producing their sport. You know, and I think I mentioned this briefly last week, but hats off to the NHL for just the way they've gone about producing the game in a fanless arena. I'm going to take a sip of my seltzer here.
You know, it's interesting. They all kind of went their own route, too.
Yeah. They did.
Obviously, no fans is a pretty similar thing, but they're all doing different things. It's interesting how that worked out.
It is, and yes, and how nobody studied each other's model or any of that. Years ago when I was involved in Sunday Ticket, all the other leagues followed the same model. You know, there was a commonality in the way everybody did business. But you're right, Corey, it's amazing. It's like every state. You know, and I find it interesting that, you know, whether I'm 6 feet away from you, Corey, and you don't wear a mask, and if you're infected and I stand close enough to you and I get a viral load, I'm going to catch it. Right, Corey? We know that. Mm-hmm. That could happen in a restaurant, right? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Could happen in a bar, could happen in a hardware store, could happen in Kentucky, could happen in Toledo, could happen. There's no difference in a contamination a probability from place to place. When you really think about it, if we're 6 feet apart wearing masks and implement these procedures. So it's interesting to me that the ability to cross-contaminate is not greater, but everybody has different rules. And sports is just an example of those different rules. But, you know, it's a challenging time for many people in America. But imagine this, Corey. Imagine if you lived in a city, you lose your job, you really can't leave your house, you can't go to restaurants, you can't get your job back, you're trapped. And then imagine if on top of all of that, you got nailed by a fucking hurricane.
Yeah.
Imagine that. So in some cases, you've lost your medical insurance. Maybe you haven't paid your property insurance, your homeowners, your renter's insurance. So, I mean, talk about the triple whammy. You lose your job, your city, your life is completely disrupted. Your children are home. They're not home. Whatever it is, your life is completely upside down. Then you get hit with a fucking hurricane. And that's what happened in Texas, in East Texas and Louisiana last week. And, you know, with all the political discussions, Corey, and you know, all of everything going on in the media, nobody's talking about it. And it worries me because I have a lot of friends down there and I've done a lot of bar rescue episodes in that region. And right now there's a section of America that's hurting worse than all of us. And it's East Texas and Louisiana from Hurricane Laura. And my favorite, and I shouldn't say favorite, Corey, because they were terrible situations, but my favorite bar rescues were, in fact, the hurricane episodes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think about the Tuberty brothers in Far Rockaway with Superstorm Sandy. You know, I think of Big Mike in Baton Rouge. You know, I think of Brad Bohannon in New Orleans on Bourbon Street. And, you know, these friends and of course, Puerto Rico, which is probably one of the most acclaimed episodes of Bar Rescue Operation Puerto Rico. And, you know, there's nothing more devastating than that. In Puerto Rico, they couldn't leave their house for 3 weeks because they were under 5 feet of sand. Imagine that. You open your front door, Corey, and you're under 5 feet of freaking sand.
Jeez.
Yeah. And you can't dig it away from your front door because it keeps going.
Right.
It isn't just a drift. And then you think about East Texas and Louisiana and the struggles that they're having. And oil prices are down the lowest they've been. And production has been minimized. And wow. So what you can really do to help is obviously put up a few dollars. And I know we're all struggling right now. But there's a great independent organization I have to mention. They were on the Big Mike's episode of Bar Rescue, which is the Cajun Navy Relief Group. And if you can find $2, $5, $100, awesome. Thousands of dollars, amazing. But please go to CajunNavyRelief.com. You know, it's independent. There's nobody taking layers of money out before they get it. The money goes directly to the community and the people who need it. Please take a minute, check them out, see if you can give them a couple of dollars. And remember, we're all suffering right now. And I get it. Everybody's hurting. But we got to help those who are hurting the most. And, you know, when I think about Black Lives Matters and I think about all the things that are going on right now, you know, if we're just good to our neighbor, black or white, this stuff starts to go away. You know, Corey, if your house is flooded and I help you rip the carpets out, how amazing is that?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and who you are, where it doesn't matter, you're a freaking neighbor and your house is destroyed or you're a neighbor and you're uncomfortable or whatever it is. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's people like the Cajun Navy who really are the most neighborhood and community-minded leaders who are really helping us in trouble. So again, please hit CajunNavyRelief.com. You know, one of my favorite bar rescue episodes ever was Spirits on Bourbon, which I can't even remember the name of it. Turtle something or other was, I forget the name. But do you remember, Corey, which one
Turtle,
it was?
I want to say Turtle Bay? No?
No, that was the name of his other place. But anyway, in that episode, The owner hated me the first couple of days, Brad Bohannon. Man, did he fucking hate me, Corey. But by the end of that episode...
Don't they all, though, at first?
They do, I guess, yeah. But, you know, by the end of the episode, we became great friends, yeah. And now years later, we're brothers. And, you know, Brad has gone through the economic crisis in New Orleans. Think about this. Nobody is walking down Bourbon Street right now. Bars are closed by government order. So he's gone through everything that all of us are going through. But Brad's also been through a hurricane. And to think of the three layers of COVID, economic disruption, and hurricane at the same time. I wanted to talk to Brad for a couple minutes. You know, this is a great time that we all need to listen to those who have been through these things and come out, you know, as winners. And Brad is one of those. So when I come back, I'm going to be with Brad Bohannon, owner of Spirits on Bourbon.
Don't shut down this podcast. John Taffer will be right back.
Season 2 of Bar Rescue, the very first episode I did was in New Orleans, Corey. And a lot of people don't know this. And we shot the episode. The reveal was Halloween night. And I'll never forget it. I was on Bourbon Street Halloween night shooting this second season episode of Bar Rescue. And I'm on a balcony doing interviews to camera and people are screaming, show me your penis, drop your pads. And I'm in the middle of Bourbon Street. And little did I know that that bar that day would begin a friendship that would last for so many years and mean so much to me. And I'm talking about Spirits on Bourbon. And, you know, I'll never forget when I did that rescue, how it meant something personally, because the owner, Brad, and Steve, those two partners, you know, really wound up meaning something so much to me personally. And right now, America's suffering with the pandemic. People have lost their jobs. Their communities are in disarray. And imagine if on top of all of that, you had a fucking hurricane. And because of the news and the politics and everything going on, Hurricane Laura and the impact on that region of the country sort of forgotten. So I wanted to reach out to my buddy, Brad Bohannon, who I love, who has been through this and who has helped me help other people in hurricane situations, and pull him into this conversation. So here he is, Brad Bohannon, owner of Spirits on Bourbon. You've seen him on Bar Rescue. You've also seen him support me in many, many other ways. And those who think that I don't have close relationships with some of the owners on Bar Rescue are nuts, because Brad and I have a brothership that'll carry our whole lives. So
That's true. Welcome,
buddy.
Where you at, John? How you doing?
I'm okay. I'm still in lockdown in the house. I see you're home.
I'm at my office up the street. Trying to get away from the family. You're getting a lot of family time lately, doing everything, but trying to get a little work done while we're here.
Yeah. How are things at Spirits?
We're surviving. We're dealing with some of the government restrictions. They started out where they closed us for a while, opened us back up, closed us back again. We've adjusted. All the bars are closed in New Orleans, but I was able to maneuver a little bit to get a restaurant license. So I'm opening under a restaurant license right now. So I was able to work that out for a year now.
You know, which is incredible, Brad. You raise an interesting point, because Florida's having the same problem and a lot of other states, where if Brad serves food, which he does, good food, has a kitchen, a restaurant, I go in there, I get a nice dinner, et cetera, because he's designated as a bar, he can't open. But yet the same environment designated as a restaurant can open, but there's no material difference between the two. And these are the kind of problems, Brad, that we're having in this state by state. And it's a shame. You're lucky to have had that designation. So are you seeing the same amount of tourism? What percentage of tourism would you suggest are on the street? 20%, 30%?
Oh, not even close. It's the, you know, you got the government telling everybody you're closed, and we're probably one of the two or three bars that's even open still. So we're just taking what we can get. We're doing the best we can. We went from doing about 18 to 20% food to doing 68%.
Wow.
So it's kind of changed our whole outlook and businesses. And not only was the government restrictions that at 50%, we can't even allow them to sit at a bar. And, you know, we've talked about this, is, you know, sometimes I make more money when no one's in the bar because of the to-go business.
Yeah.
And they took that away from us. So we can't even sell to-go drinks. Now every place in the world is selling to-go drinks, and the place that's known for it can't. So it kind of defies logic, and we're just doing the best we can to make our ways through this process. I'm trying to stay positive with it and make it through and just keep some people employed and the trucks running and just doing our part.
Yeah. Well, you're a genuine good guy. And you know, I knowing you, I would expect you to be doing that. So hats off to you, buddy. You know, it's interesting when you, you think about these regulatory issues and such, and you think about how the volume that you had in business was terrific. You were doing great. And how overnight this is taken away, and you wonder, God, thank God you have the resources to get through this.
Yes.
Do you have friends that aren't? Do you have friends that are running out of money that are not going to reopen?
I've been lucky, and I've been very frugal my whole life, and I've been prepared. And I was laughing. Every business that I have a six-month emergency fund, and I pay my, I get everything set up for me at first. But I see these people, like, you know, these people in the bar business, a lot of them, they live paycheck to paycheck and only have one stream of income. And yes, they are hurting. And I think it's going to change the outlook in some of these major cities in the French Quarter. I wouldn't be surprised if 50% of the people down there close and it changes the whole look of it.
Right.
And sometimes I wonder if that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah. And if Bourbon Street now becomes less bars, right, and starts to have a different kind of blend of retail or whatever it might be. I agree. New York City's challenged the same way. All these cities are challenged the same way. I mean, we might never be the same from this. Imagine, Brad, because you've been through this, buddy, if a hurricane hit right now.
Oh, it would be crazy. The one thing about a hurricane is that's different than this is hurricanes are so regional. And, you know, you take that big hit. And it's devastating and everybody's upset, though, but you have that flux of government money, people rebuilding, and there's a lot of money that gets flown through it. In New Orleans, when they had the down of the economy over the last year, we've been lucky enough to have, we had the Katrina, which everybody, they had to rebuild the whole city. We had the BP oil spill. So we had a lot of this money coming in. But when it's the whole country, that money's not coming in.
Right.
And some of the government officials, they're banking on that money coming in that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And they can't afford to do it.
You know, I look at Las Vegas as a destination and, you know, as Bourbon Street is a destination. And I look at the right now we're becoming drive-in destinations because nobody will fly. So it's changed the dynamic of these destinations hugely. And of course, Spirits is what, 85% tourism? I'm probably close.
Probably 90-95%.
So if they don't get on airplanes, you don't make money at the end of the day because only so many people will drive in and regionally. So all of these destinations around the country, whether it be Miami, Bourbon Street, New Orleans, Las Vegas, they're all becoming regional drive-in destinations, which is changing it hugely. Now, when you went through the hurricanes, Brad, of course, it wasn't this type of an economic environment and stuff. How long did it take you to recover and get out of that?
I'll be honest with you. When we got up, I was probably the first bar on Bourbon Street open. And in the New York Times, I was on the cover putting our sign back up. I still got my friend that actually worked there. He sent me the plate for it. It's me putting the sign up. And actually, it was 32 days. For 32 days, I started making money. And I started hustling and I figured it out. You would have laughed. I probably had 100 people in the bar in camouflage outfits with machine guns. And the bartender's like, do I card them? I'm like, not if they got a machine gun, just let them go. Because the soldiers, they're like, the soldiers look so young. And this is a funny story. It's like all the gas and stuff was turned on. So I had a plumber friend. I said, hey, can you get my gas turned on? And they're like, oh, yeah, I'll do it for you. So I was the only person in the New Orleans area that had French fries. And you don't realize how much people miss French fries when they can't have them.
It's funny. Funny. So you think about what you've been through, but of course, many of your friends don't. Statistically, when a city gets hit like a Katrina, it takes about 2 years for things to recover.
A lot of it, John, it's a lot of it you have to just adapt because it's no matter what's going on, someone's making some money. Like, I enjoy selling grain alcohol to people out the window to go, but if there's no there, I've got to learn how to sell cheeseburgers again.
Yeah.
I've got to adapt to it. And you know, I'm not a diner guy, but I'm lucky to have that restaurant right now where I can sell this food and have 68% and keep my employees working.
Yeah.
I got managers doing line shift works and everybody's working together. And it's just, you realize how important you are, this job is to you when this stuff goes on.
Yeah. You know, you're in the music business and over the past 10 years, you've seen huge changes in the way music is distributed, right? Now it's distributed through all different platforms and ways, but you know, in a recording studio, it's still the same thing. People are making music, Right. Yeah. It's just the way consumer gets it are so different today than 10 years ago. And I think we're finding that in our business too. And that's why to-go cocktails are so important, is our industry is changing in the way we distribute our products to people. And delivery, you know, the percentage of delivery business going up is not going to go away. I think it's going to go down some after the pandemic. But I think it's still going to be higher, Brad. I bet you agree.
And, definitely. And I think there's an opportunity there for advertising, just like the to-go cups with the Resurrection Cup that you did for us with the flashing. There's going to be some companies out there that do some really awesome, productive advertising. Remember the pizza boxes with all the ads on it to cover some of the cost to make this a lot more profitable, because really to-go business, I mean, the profit isn't there. I mean, you've got to sell a lot of French fries and a lot of stuff to go to make money once you pay the delivery service. So you've got to learn some other ways to make some money. And I think that's going to be the opportunity there. There's going to be some advertising stuff there and get your advertising into people's houses.
You know, it's funny, in Bar Rescue, of course, we edit out a lot of funny stuff. And for those a little behind the scenes for Brad and I, you didn't love me in the beginning. You know, Brad is a confident guy. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to run his business. He's run successful ones before. I came in like a bat out of hell, challenged him in every way, and beat him up on his cup and his drink, which is still very successful. But he looked at me and he said to me, "You better give me a drink and a cup." In essence, he sort of looked at me and he said, "Okay, big mouth, put up." Sort of is what he said. And it was a little heated. And he said to me, "I better see a special cup and a special drink that freaking matters." Well, what didn't make the episode is when I showed Brad the drink under the bar, I had a red cup. Remember a red plastic cup? And of course, it didn't make the episode, but I wanted to fuck with him a little. So I said, "Listen, I wanted a cup that was very reusable, would have its own identity." And I pulled out a red plastic cup for a second. And I don't have your face on camera, but I wish I did. For about a second, you thought I was serious, and then you knew I wasn't. But of course, that didn't make the episode. And you know, that cocktail and that cup is, I think, probably the best work I've ever done on Bar Rescue. Probably one of the things I'm most proud of is, buddy, is what, you know, what you've accomplished down there with the little bit of work that I did to start you going.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. I think we're the episode that has been most touched and most people have been into. Yeah. We took advantage of it. I knew the power of that TV was going to be something else. And to still, I mean, it was on this weekend. I probably got 20 texts that the episode was rerunning. So basically it's been 9 years and I haven't had to pay for advertising. The people come in and they pay $15 for a drink and they advertise my drink on the street. Then it's on TV. I knew what I had and I appreciated everything. So you knew I was always going to be Team Taffer.
Oh, I know that, buddy. But you did the heavy lifting. You know, I just got you going. And, you know, I always send other Bar Rescue people to you. Some call you, some don't. But you have always been the master of marketing and promotion in this. And, you know, I think to the restaurant industry, we have to realize that people who put tables in front and do nothing else are not being successful. But the ones who put tables in front and maybe a plant or two, maybe dress the table a little better, maybe make it look a little more professional like you did on your back deck, Brad, you know, and detail it out a little more, then you will be successful. So, you know, Brad is a great example. He took, you know, a little gift that was given to him in Bar Rescue and turned it into millions and millions of dollars. And now's the time for us as an industry to innovate, to think, not be frozen. And the message I've been trying to send to our industry and to the victims of Hurricane Laura is this is not the time to be paralyzed. This is the time to really move and go forward. You know who I'm talking to next?
Who's that?
Big Mike.
Oh, awesome, man. I love that play. That was one of my favorite episodes that you did.
Well, you gave him 10 G's. You gave him
I was happy just to be able to be involved with that. I remember I'm calling you and I saw them posting it on Facebook and I go, "JT, you got to see this. I mean, I know you're going to be down here this year. And if you're going to do something, you might as well do something big." And the thing about you always listen and you know, you may not agree with everything, but you take that kind of stuff and run with it. And I was so happy to have my little part in that too.
You know, it's funny that you say you're frugal. Anytime I've ever called you for a charity, you've always stepped up and written a big check. Anytime I've asked you to help another Bar Rescue owner, you've always stepped up and written a good check. You're not frugal. You're wise.
Right. And I was lucky and I've lived like no one else. That way I can give like no one else. So I've been lucky with that. And I have more fun giving my money away than I do spending it on other stuff, which is kind of funny. Yeah. So I enjoy it. And if I knew the last time I saw you, John, we were in Vegas having a good old time. If I knew that was the last time I was going to get to have fun, I would have had a lot more fun.
Brad's referring, I'm involved in a charity, Keep Memory Alive, and our gala was up in Las Vegas, I think it was March 6th, just before all this began, like a week before it all began.
Right.
And Brad and Steve came up with their wives and supported the charity and wrote a big check, and that was the last time we saw each other. But, you know, buddy, think of those people that are now, you know, underwater, so to speak, and what would you say to them? Because you've been in that spot. I know that. You know, you've had to dig yourselves out before. What do you have to say to those that are struggling right now?
Help your neighbor. You watch you'll be able to succeed. You got time today. Help someone gut their house. It doesn't take anything, and it goes a long ways. There's people that I gutted their house and gave them money, and they're still appreciative to this day. Yeah. And all it takes is a little bit of time. And as a business person, figure out your way to make some money. Figure out there's someone's going to be out there making money. There's opportunity no matter what kind of – if it goes to the – capitalism's like a weed. It grows. You go to these – I go to a lot of travel. I go to these socialist countries. Still, capitalism's there. They're selling you a watch on the street. It keeps going, you know. So just have that entrepreneur in your DNA, and I think you'll be fine. And time is going to heal everything.
Yeah. Here's what I've been saying these past few weeks. I bet you agree with me. I think we're about 60 days away from a vaccine. I believe that. And I believe the next thing people are going to do, Brad, after they get their vaccine is go out to dinner.
I'm sure they will. I had cabin fever. I've been kind of exploring out a little bit more and more with the mask and stuff. And it's different, but I'm concerned. My biggest concern is it just changes the way people long term. It's been going so long. It's going to take a while to get it back.
I think so too.
And we have to be able to ready.
Yeah. And you know, when you sneeze in public, it's never going to quite be the same as it was before. No. You know, one cough in a room and you're the devil. And I'm not sure those are the things that are going to go away very often. But I know we're going to come back. And I think it's operators like you, buddy, and people with character like you. I don't mean to make you blush, but I mean that. who are always going to get ahead. So send my love to Steve family. You know,
will do.
Kids and we'll talk soon. But while I have Brad on, I want everybody to know that there is a great organization you can send some money to, CajunNavyRelief.com. It's a great independent group. They do incredible work. There's no layers of administration and people taking percentages of the money before they get it. So, you know, in this tough time, as Brad says, you know, we got to help our neighbor. And, you know, you want to make Black Lives Matter, help your neighbor, black or white. It doesn't matter.
Right.
When we help each other, these things go away. So if you can, please go to CajunNavyRelief.com. Give a dollar. Give something that you can to help these people who are in need. I know when I hang up this call, I bet you are going to, Brad.
You know I am. And they do such a good service. And we talked them into coming out for the big mic reveal, too. They had the boat out there cranking it up right in front of it. So that was kind of fun.
That was awesome. So. Anyway, stay healthy, buddy, and stay safe.
All right, JT, if you need anything, I'm here for you.
Same here. Well, you can see why I love Brad Bohannon, Corey.
Yeah, what a great guy. Real humble.
Oh, yeah. I can only tell you, when I call him up and say, Brad, I want to do a book signing. Man, whatever I want.
Yeah.
Brad, I'm coming to New Orleans, whatever I want. You know, right down to his house. I mean, whatever I want. He is the brother of all brothers. So, you know, we've come through for each other over the years, and I'm always trying to promote him and help him as well because he's such a good guy. Last March, I'm on the board of a charity called Keep Memory Alive, and we mentioned it briefly. I called up Brad. He wrote a check with a lot of zeros on it, buddy, and just really stepped up and took care of me, and he's such a class act. So Brad helped me do probably the second most watched, I believe, Bar Rescue ever, which was the Big Mike's episode, which I believe Troubled Waters or Bridge Over Troubled Waters or something was the name of it. And Big Mike was the character who some of you might remember. So I want to have Big Mike on, see how he's doing. He's in the area, fringe area, that was affected by this hurricane. And Baton Rouge was a nightmare, if you remember, 3 years ago. And during the Bar Rescue episode, I talked about how, you know, it's going to take 2 years for the town to recover. Well, it's now been about 2.5 years. So I wanted to get in touch with Big Mike. Let's see how they're doing post their hurricane, and let's see what's going on in that region. We'll talk to Big Mike when I come back.
Don't shut down this podcast. John Taffer will be right back.
Well, about 4 years ago, I went to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where I got to know a family incredibly well that I care about very much to this day. And it was one of my favorite bar rescue episodes ever. And it was the Big Mike's episode. And Mike is here with me now. Hey, buddy. How are you, Mike?
How are you?
Good.
Well, I'm good. How are
you? Well, you know, I got to tell you, first of all, how is the family? How are the girls and everybody?
Growing up too fast. Everybody's fat and sassy. They all doing good.
Awesome. And how's Big Mike's doing?
We're doing well. We're very fortunate. Still doing good. You know, had some restrictions with the COVID and whatnot, but having the two bars is an extension of our dining room. People are still able to get a beer and eat. And that's kind of separated us from everybody else because they didn't have the bar areas, but we're doing very well.
Excellent. So pre-COVID, you guys were doing well, right? You were up considerably.
Oh, yes. After you left and everything that you did for us, the numbers were out the roof for probably 11 months, almost a year. We were doing probably 20,000 more a week than we were. And then, of course, it settled. And but it, I mean, everything is still, it looks, you know, there's a couple of changes, but it probably is 95% the way you left.
Wow, that's good to hear. So do people come up to you often, Mike, and say, I want to take a picture with Big Mike? And do you find that that happens often?
Yeah, very much so. I've been in airports. I was at a baseball game in Baltimore, Maryland. I was on a cruise out in the middle of the ocean. just this past weekend, I was at a gas station in Alabama, and a lady came up and asked me if I was on bar rescue. So it still happens a lot. I've signed some autographs, tons of pictures. So it's amazing the power of TV and your show. It's amazing how many people your show reaches.
Well, you know, they loved you. You know, that was why. I mean, America loved you guys. But, you know, Mike, when I was there, I was telling the story earlier. I'll never forget when I drove up to your home with all the debris on the end of everybody's driveway, right, with piles of appliances and wood and paneling in front of every driveway. And I pull in and I see that trailer sitting in your driveway and your little dining room table outside. I'll never forget that moment as long as I live, Mike. You know, people hear about hurricanes, and you watch the aerial photographs in the news from thousands of miles away, but man, when you pull in the driveway and see an entire neighborhood destroyed and see the water line, what was it, 7 feet, Mike?
Yeah, right at 6 feet at the restaurant and 5 feet here in our house.
And you know, I remember the picture of your daughter sitting on the roof of the car with the water coming up all around her and such. Yep. But, you know, Mike, Hurricane Laura has sort of gotten lost here in the national news with the political convention and everything going on. Nobody's talking about this. So I wanted to have you on today because I want to talk about this and bring this to everybody's attention. But before I start, I want you to tell everybody the story of the Cajun Navy and how it impacted you. Would you tell that story with the boat and everything for me?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it just started of course, down here, we call them rednecks. It's okay to call them rednecks. And, you know, they just got their boats in the water. You know, to me, it's made for TV. They had a cigarette in their mouth and a beer in one hand and the throttle of the boat in the other. They were just going from house to house. They would save dogs, animals, everybody. We had some come to our house and they took our twins out. Our street, our house wasn't at 5 feet yet, but I mean, it was over our vehicles. We couldn't move our vehicles. It was over the tires already. And then they came back in a big, huge four-wheel drive truck and got us. But our story goes, we went someplace else. It flooded, had to be rescued from there.
Wow.
And then we went to somebody else's house. Oh, I've been here 9 years, never had water in my yard. Then it flooded. And the Cajun Navy came again. And like I say, this is just average guys, electricians, plumbers, you name it, just average guys, hardworking guys. And they just formed this massive group and just communicated by walkie-talkie, CB, because cell phone service was down. I mean, just very organized. And made sure they hit every street. They had markers saying, we checked this street, we checked this street. It just worked tirelessly day and night. And I mean, this thing just blew up and went national. And I mean, it's really an unbelievable thing. And I know you're going to talk about it. And I got another story, but they're all in Lake Charles right now.
Yeah, and they're doing what they need to down there. So anybody who can, and I really encourage you, go to CajunNavyRelief.com, which is their website. Please donate. It's an independent organization. As Mike said, these are good guys. They're just out there trying to help their neighbors and trying to help people. And they load their boats on these trucks and they drive to Lake Charles or wherever they need to go to make a difference. And many cases, Mike, they're spending their own money to do it. And they're not in a position to do that either. So please consider going to CajunNavyRelief.com and make a donation if you can. You know, Mike, when I was there in Baton Rouge, I got a chance to meet the mayor and lieutenant governor, right? Mayor came to the opening, lieutenant governor. I got to learn, and I'm going to make you blush, buddy. I'm sorry. I got to learn how much that city loved you and how much of a good neighbor you were perceived to be. And Mike, I don't know if you know this, but I've now done 196 bar rescues. Never has a community called us like they did in Baton Rouge. Can we help? Can we help? Can we help? What can we do? Can we help? Can we help? And it was all because of how you treated your neighbors and the way you lived your life, buddy. And it was an amazing thing to see some guy as good as you be so loved by the town that he lived in. It was remarkable. And you know, it touches me to this day. I still, you know, the episodes are on all the time, Mike. I don't watch a lot of them, but when yours is on, I tend to watch it. And it might be the 20th time I watch it because it puts me back in that emotional place where you and I were sitting at that table in your house, and I'll never forget it. I put my hand on your shoulder and said, I'm going to get this done. And you know, I looked at you. I said, I can't imagine you not looking at your twins every night and putting them to bed. And I'll never forget that moment. Mike, you touched me as much as I touched you. But you know, when I look back at that, and I remember sitting with the mayor and with Tevin Governor, and they were saying it could take two and a half years for the city to come back from the floods then. So now it's 4 years later. How are we doing? I mean, how's the city doing? Is it all the way back?
You know, in my conversations with the mayor, yes. I mean, you know, a lot of new businesses came in. Of course, the buildings were torn down. Some commercial properties, businesses came, which was good for the community. And, you know, it was amazing what happened, exactly what you told me, okay? A couple things. You told me that it was my turn, which I had to step back because I always gave. And you told me it was my turn. But you said that my bar would be a gathering place, and it really was. The meetings, the people that came there, brainstormed, political and non-political, people that came and we just cried and, you know, hey, we can rebuild this. We can do this with our help. What do we need to do here? And so my place really became a focal point of the rebuilding, which is what you said was going to happen. Like, hey, Big Mike's got up. Now everybody else can get up. But it's thriving. It really is. The community's back. You know, a lot of anxiety when it rained for a couple years. You know, everybody just because it started out as such a simple rainstorm and it turned into what it did.
It's just the story is, but people don't know this. It was a simple rainstorm. There was no advance warning. It just didn't stop raining.
Correct. Over 20 hours. It rained for over 20 hours, I believe. So almost a whole day, but no, you know, we still have celebrations. We went and painted a line in the bar down the hallway by both bathrooms, and people come in, take pictures of where the water was. So there's, you know, and then with the episode re-airing, people still talk about it, but it really, the town is doing really good. The mayor, Gerard, is doing a wonderful job. He got reelected and, you know, we're still just, it's something you think about, you'll never forget about, you talk about all the time, but we're actually, we've recovered very well. It brought us together. It was unbelievable. You know, there was no black, white, you know, no rich, poor. Right. I mean, it flooded $700,000 houses. It flooded $20,000 trailers. I mean, so everybody was in the same boat and everybody, came together, and I think it made the community stronger.
You know, that's really powerful. And I'm glad you said that, Mike, because when you come out of something like this, we are stronger. We trust each other more. We believe in each other more. We've proven that we can do this. That's what the people in Lake Charles need to hear. You know, get behind each other, support each other, find those energy centers like Big Mike was, where everybody can meet and congregate and talk and create and energize and write checks to each other and do whatever it is we need to do to keep it going. But, you know, I'm so proud to hear that, Mike, to think that, that we were right. You know, by you being an example in a community, other people could be ignited by that and Baton Rouge could come back. You know, it's a pleasure to look in your eyes, buddy, and to see you again.
My glasses, I'm getting old, John. I can't see. I got to wear my cheaters.
I hear you. Listen.
Real fast, to go with what you're saying, we have a trailer, and we put it in the front of the restaurant today, working with a local radio station. The Cajun Navy is going to come get it Thursday and take it to Lake Charles. And when I left the restaurant today at about 4:30 to come home to do a few things, it was already half full.
Half full, so with what, clothes and people are putting stuff in it?
Toothbrushes, toothpaste, toilet paper, water, you name it. Just everything that you can imagine. People are dumping stuff off. The trailer will be full by before the end of the day tomorrow. And the Cajun Navy is going to take that over to Lake Charles Friday morning.
Wow. Do you want to give people the address of where they can drop stuff, Mike, if you'd like to?
Absolutely. The restaurant is 123 Aspen Square, and that's in Denham Springs. And we have some tents set up. We have volunteers that we have tons of boxes. If you bring loose goods from where, whatever store, we box it up, we tape it, and we're just loading this big trailer up. And so we'll be there at nine. They'll be there till six tonight, and then we'll be there from 9 to 6 tomorrow. Right, so out in front of the restaurant, you can't miss it.
So there you are, Big Mike. Your whole life you gave. I had a look at you and almost make you take when I was there. And you went right back to giving again, didn't you?
You got to give to receive. And, you know, your gift was amazing. Your gift was life-altering. And I don't know if people realize that when they watch the show. You can sit here and tell them that I lost my house, all three of my vehicles. My kids were living somewhere else. I lost my business. All I had was a shirt and sweatpants I had on. But, yeah, I don't even think that does it justice. But for what you did to come in and save me, I just hope the viewers can see it as much as, you know, as emotional as it was for me, and the crying and all that. I hope that people saw, you know, exactly how much y'all did for us.
Well, thank you, buddy. It was an honor. It was an honor to do it for you. And those who can't make it to Big Mike's and donate, again, I know I'm being redundant, but this is important. Please go to CajunNavyRelief.com. You know, give what you can. Look at a guy like Big Mike. You know, he's back on his feet again, and the first thing he's doing is helping his neighbor, trying to get this going. Let's all do that now. This is the time to do that. Great to see you, buddy.
Hey, I appreciate it. I love your stage there. I love your little...
Oh, this is my home bar.
That's great. Oh, is it?
Yeah, this is my home bar. We got to get you up to Las Vegas and get you over here one of these days.
You got it. I promise.
Okay, take care, buddy.
All right, stay safe. Thank you. All right, bye.
Well, Big Mike and Brad have both proven something to us and our industry, that you can dig out of the worst situations imaginable, and you can do it with minimal resources if we help each other. So I wanted this to be a little bit of a podcast of inspiration, because right now we're starting to come out of this. And in a couple of weeks, we're going to have a good friend of mine, Jared Isaacman, on the show, who's the CEO of a company called Shift4. And Shift4 has all these POS systems around the country. They know exactly how the restaurant industry is doing, Corey, right down to each state, the to-go, all the statistics of what's selling, what's not, et cetera. So in the next couple of weeks, we're going to have Jared on to talk about what's really going on out there statistically and such. But the important message from this week's show is, you know, these are two guys who both, you know, got destroyed by weather, economic environments that came back. We're going to come back too. So let's hope TV gets a little better.
Yes.
Let's hope they get some new content out there. To all those suffering from Hurricane Laura, please go to CajunNavyRelief.com. Let's see if we can help some families down there dig out of this hurricane. And we'll talk to you all next week.
Subscribe to the John Tapper podcast right now for more episodes every Thursday.